Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to What's Brewing, CISFA? What's Brewing, CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community College's Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Danny Yarbrough, Dennis's co-host and fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So, let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
Dana, it's that kind of morning. I hope you're filling up your cup high and wide or whatever they would call it.
Man, I'm going to need one of those 30-ounce situations. Yes. It's just pure dark, because I like dark roast.
Yeah.
Coffee.
Okay.
No sugar, no cream.
Straight up.
It's going to be one of those days.
Yeah, that it is. You're going to need that. You've seen the super trucker mugs that are like, I forgot, 128 ounces. Uh-huh.
That's what I'm going to need. Insulated.
Well, I think those are pretty well insulated.
Mm-hmm.
My brother who does do trucking, I think he's got one of those somewhere. He doesn't use it because, like he says, you know, it as interesting as it is that it would hold as much as it does, it is a little unwieldy. And they don't make, even in a semi truck, there's really not a good cup holder for something that size. Mm-hmm. You'd have to build one. Because
from what I understand, there's not a lot of room in the, I don't know what it's called, the area where they're driving and where they're kind of like,
like the semi rig. Well, they're what's their rig or whatever? The cab,
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, his dash is pretty, I mean, there's amazing number of gauges. It's not quite like a 747, but there's a lot of gauges, and he's done a lot of modifications to his so that he could do a different radio, add a Sirius XM radio, a mount for his cell phone, a little, like, coat hanger thing, because when you're in a truck like that, it tends to be noisy. So if he has to take phone calls, he's got like the super duper headset.
Oh, okay.
You know, so it's like it literally he's got, it's like one regular headphone with a gigantic boom mic on it. And it's Bluetooth. Okay. It's Bluetooth, of course, but I mean, it's like an extra cost. So if you ever at a truck stop, you'll see these boom microphones. You're like, who'd ever want that for their cell phone? Well, truckers, because it's loud. And there's no way you're going to be able to hold a phone to your head, which you shouldn't be doing anyways, right? For everyone out there that still doesn't quite understand the hands-free law after a decade. But anyways, but yeah, so yeah, it's there's a lot of stuff that just has to, you know, go there. And there's, I know he's got a cup holder or two, but it would never hold a 128-ouncer. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
So take your dark roast one cup at a time in a reasonable-sized cup.
Oh, I'm not. I can't just chug it.
Oh, you can do whatever you want. I don't know how you drink your coffee. I don't know many people that chug their coffee, though. Thankfully.
I think today is a chug your coffee day. I feel it in the air.
Well, here's what I'm going to do for you, Dana.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say, why don't you take tomorrow off? I mean, you know who would want you to? Cesar Chavez.
Yes,
He would, because again, you have to think of the great work that he has done for this state and for farm workers and others.
Absolutely,
he would want you to take the day off to think about that. You know, again, the impact he's had on beyond California. Although I have to say, I don't know anyone outside of California that's ever heard of him. Unfortunately, you know, so it's a slow roll. Everybody, give him some time.
Right.
But how do you take tomorrow?
And then we could, you know, us being from California, of course, we can do our part and, you know, share, you know, his story.
Absolutely.
Spread the word.
Exactly. I believe there was a pretty decent movie made a number of years ago.
Oh, yes.
With a real, like, cast. You know, I'm trying to think who was all in
it. Mm-hmm. I believe, I hope I'm right. I think America Flores, I think she is in it. You remember who she is?
Not America Ferrara or whatever.
Oh, I said it wrong. Or is that? I'm sorry.
Yeah, the woman, the girl, the woman who's on that Superstore show right now.
Right. Uh huh. And then she did. She was a.
And then she did the Ugly Betty. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I think you're right. I apologize. Yeah.
You're probably right. Yes.
It's Fedetta. Yeah.
Ferreira. Yeah.
Uh huh.
Okay. So yes, take Wednesday off. I know not all our counterparts across the state have Wednesday. I know some had Monday instead, and some may not have the day off at all. But yes, and think about the impact he's had in our state. But Dana, yes. Thinking not forward but backwards, how was your weekend?
You know what, Dennis? So I don't know if I shared with you and our awesome listeners, but Mom and I, during the Christmas holiday, we had a really bad, we had one of our pipe bust.
Yeah, so in one of our bathrooms.
Yeah, we had a flood, really, really bad flood. And we live in a townhouse with, it's like three stories. Mm-hmm. So the flood was so bad, it started up, you know, upstairs where our bedrooms are, and the flood leaked, or the water leaked, excuse mm-hmm. me, all the way to our living room area, all the way down to the garage.
Yeah.
So we had some damage to the ceiling. So this weekend, we, you know, prepared the house so that we could get our ceiling fixed, and the ceiling got fixed yesterday.
Great, great.
That's what we did all weekend, you know, pack away stuff and mm-hmm. Put plastic on the walls, you know, to get ready for that.
Now, I know yours was caused by unnatural disaster, but it does seem like during these COVID times, you're not the only one working on their house, you know?
Right. I mean, yeah, I've been hearing that. Yeah. Huh? Yeah, a lot of people are taking the opportunity to make whatever upgrades and modifications. Yeah.
It's funny because even though you're working from home, the people are, maybe because you have to see it all the time. I got a friend who's like redoing all his floors and almost the whole house. And then from there, he's going to do some painting. And mm-hmm. he's going to paint his cabinets. And I got at least a couple other friends who are building those ADUs, you know, that additional house, like a small house on their property.
Okay.
I guess because, you know, the state and the city in particular encourage that so that you could find, in a sense, more affordable housing. But I got at least two people in the middle of those kind of projects. And then somebody else is doing some other big thing. So, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting time here for people to be digging up floors and ceilings and all that right. stuff.
And like you said, because, you know, we're home 24/7.
Yeah.
And we have the opportunities, meaning the time and we have the resources, you know.
That's true, yeah. For those who've saved their money.
Right.
This is one way to get it all done.
Absolutely, uh-huh. And so we're looking, even though it sucked at the time, Dennis.
Oh, sure.
We're looking at it as an opportunity to do what you're saying is to, you know, make some upgrades. So now that we have the ceiling fixed, now we're moving on to our flooring because unfortunately... Mm-hmm. There is substantial water damage to the carpet, and my mom, she did her best to, you know, try to revive it, bring it back, but it's just too great.
Yeah. That amount of water will, kind of ruin that kind of stuff. You just have to tear up the
fabric.
It's
plush carpet too. So yeah,
Yeah. Time for wood floors.
Right. Absolutely. That is the next phase.
Mm-hmm. 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 Well, you know, I can understand then why with the amount of work you've been doing over the weekend and all that, you did not ask to go to one training that was offered out there. You know, yesterday and today mm-hmm. in the mornings, only 4 hours in the morning, 4 hours in the morning on each day, CISFA was offering its financial aid 101 training that we normally offer just at the start of the conference. We moved it a few weeks down so that we'd have more time and all. And I have to say, we have very good numbers. We have over 140 people registered for the training.
That's awesome.
Now, you might not need it also because, you know, you've been in financial aid forever.
Oh, my word.
But, you know, yes. It was funny because I did say a few words at the start of the training, and then I had to skip away to another Zoom meeting, of course. But I saw that the first topic that they were covering for the day was yesterday. Was financial aid acronyms.
Mm.
You know, remember, I don't know, were
we
you
did,
on?
Yeah,
you
we did
on
a show.
Show. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, we did.
Where I quiz you on acronyms. So it looks like they're stealing from us from the show. So. Now, the good thing is I did put in a plug for the podcast during the training as part of a way people could connect with the association.
Right.
So hopefully people take us up on that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start tracking the numbers and see how we're doing on downloads.
Okay.
You know, that, and
that'll be fun. That'll be fun to see.
That, and I'm hoping that we'll have maybe not this Friday, but in coming weeks, a number of interviews with CISFA people, and I'm really hoping to get some gets out there, some people outside of CISFA.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. So, I like this.
Yeah, I've got some names that I'll run by you, but you know, some other people, not even just, you know, the NASFA people, but some other people that are related to higher education or have talked highly about it or stuff like that. We'll see who we can get here.
Okay. And that's going to be fun.
I think so. You know, it'll bring us some new light into our world of financial aid here.
Oh, absolutely. People. And then they can obviously enjoy, you know, ultimate shenanigans with us.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm thinking. Talking about shenanigans, have you seen and been keeping up on your NCAA tournament?
So correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't we just get through with March Madness?
We are in the midst of it.
We're in the midst of March Madness.
Yeah, so the tournament time is August, considered March Madness.
Okay,
and gotcha. So, yes, we are in the middle of it. The men's and the women's basketball, they run just about the same schedule. They're off by a few days, as always, are running right now, and we are just getting to the point of getting to the final four being picked. We've got two of them already in, and we've got a lot of LA teams here. We've got USC and UCLA are still in the tournament.
That's awesome.
Amazingly. So now this is the problem because the way the brackets are set up, even if both of them continue to win, they won't meet each other in the final. They would meet each other in a final four game. So they would be the game before the championship. So you can't have just because of the way it's set up, but they're still in, and they have certainly outperformed this year compared to where they were ranked. I don't think anybody at the start would have said that unless you talk to one of my friends, and I'm not saying he's a gambler or whatever, but he predicted both of the teams to do pretty well.
Okay. And Dennis, do you participate in that too? Don't you, or isn't there like a system where you pick, okay, this is my pick
a bracket
of who's going to make it? And yeah. Uh-huh.
I've done that in the past, but the people that I've done it in the past with never emailed me to say if they were doing it as a group. You know, where maybe people would leverage a little money or something for the winner. So I know that my brackets would have been horrible. I can tell you right now, because Wisconsin, you know, my home state, was in the tournament and pretty decently ranked and didn't take very long to lose out. I think they won their first game, lost their second.
Okay.
So... you know, I definitely would have picked them. Now what's interesting is, you know, there is still one Big Ten, and there's a lot of Big Ten teams in the tournament. But here's something between both the men's and women's. Michigan and Baylor, those two schools, have both of their men's and women's teams in the tournaments.
It's kind of interesting. Okay. Now that's awesome.
Now, it looked like UCLA women's made it to the tournament, but they lost early. I didn't see USC women's, so I guess maybe they didn't make the tournament. And then otherwise, here in California, the Stanford women's team are in the Elite Eight. So they're down to the last eight team. And I believe they play today against Louisville. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of all of that.
Okay.
So do you have any favorites, or are you not following it this well, you're saying? Is that what you're saying?
Dennis, I'm just happy that I knew it was March Madness. Boom.
Wow. That's where we're going to take it.
Doing good. I am doing excellent.
Yeah.
That I even knew it was that time of year.
And had I asked you what sport it was, would that maybe have...
I would have known it was basketball. Calm down, sir.
Okay. Down. I don't know. I mean, you got to remember, there's a lot of college sports out there. Even though not all of them are as active, you know, you know, it's like, I know volleyball's going on because, you know, on my cable, I've got the Pac-12 channels.
Okay.
So there's a lot of men's and women's. No, I don't know so much men's. There's definitely women's volleyball going on. Those ladies are a little intimidating. You've seen a women's volleyball team? Yeah, I mean, you think that the women's basketball team, okay, that's a sport where height helps you. But I think some of those women's basketball teams would be outshined by the height of some of the women's volleyball teams.
Oh, wow. You know, volleyball players are, they're badass.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I remember growing up watching the Olympics. That was okay. One of the sports I would always watch, mm-hmm. is the volleyball tournaments.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially, mm-hmm. yeah, and this is just that. I mean, and again, you know, this is the regular volleyball, not even counting the fact that we have beach volleyball, you know, at the college level, too. Mm-hmm. And those, in particular, those ladies are very, very competitive. And it seems to always be like a USC-UCLA matchup there, because they obviously, you're near the water, you got the type of athletes who probably have trained in Southern California. Mm-hmm. And know the sport very, very well. So that's what's going on with the tournament, everyone. So Dana says she doesn't know who will win the tournament.
Since we're from, you know, the LA area, let's go.
You're gonna go with one?
To UCLA.
Okay,
UCLA.
You never know; things could happen.
You never know.
That's true. Just like you never know when what's gonna happen. The music's gonna come up. And we're going to move on to our next segment here.
And we're back for our second cup on the What's Brewing CISFA show.
Time for refills, everybody. So at this point, we have some news. I guess we should get to it for everybody. So first item here, federal student aid announced in a message late on Sunday that the new FSA Partners website was up and running. Available at fsapartners.ed.gov, the Partner Connect website is the new digital front door for us in financial aid, needing access to the federal student aid handbook, information that used to be housed on the IFAP website, and more. In fact, you'll find all the old IFAP info in the new knowledge base part of the FSA Partners website, and you'll find links to the COD website, FAA Access, NSLDS, and more. I've got to say, after giving the new website, you know, a quick once over, it sure looks nicer and cleaner. The layout is so much better than the old IFAP website, but it might still take some time to find all the information out there, but supposedly everything is already there. So we'll put a link in the new to the new website in our show notes. And just to let you know, you might, if you're a financial aid director, you may get some emails from FSA because some of the things might require access for your staff. So you have to do some authorizations and certifications and all. I just got that email myself and somebody was asking about it. You can still have, obviously, access to COD, NSLDS and all. But in case you see an email come by, yes, it's just re-registering for the new site.
Also, Dennis, NASFA is joining over 1,000 other higher education organizations and institutions in urging Congress to double the Pell Grant to $13,000. Quoting from the letter sent to Congress on behalf of the group, quote, students from low and moderate income families are in critical need of additional grant aid to pay for college. Doubling the maximum Pell Grant and permanently indexing the grant to inflation to ensure its value doesn't diminish over time will boost college enrollment, improve graduation rates, and honor the history and value of these grants as the keystone federal investment in college affordability, end quote. Helping support this request was a survey from Inside Higher Ed that found 79% of college and university presidents back doubling the Pell Grant, indicating that it would benefit students at all institutions. I guess we'll have to see where they get the money for this, assuming Congress moves on the request. We'll put a link in our show notes to the NASFA article on this.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's only 79% of college, university, right. Presidents said that doubling would help. I'd like to know who that other 21% are.
I'm very curious about that myself.
They must be the real fiscal conservatives out there. I mean, again, just like anything, if this ever makes its way through, and I don't know in this kind of times, will it?
Right. Uh-huh.
Beyond where the money is, the unintended consequences of upping the Pell Grant, the good ones, you know, like institutions that would otherwise backfill with institutional money,
mm-hmm.
may not have to do so much. But on the other side, just like when we've seen student loan values go up and an amount of financial aid in general go up from the federal government,
mm-hmm.
costs at certain institutions have gone up.
I was just going to mention that, yeah.
Because, you know, yeah. now you know there's this extra pool of money.
Right, yeah, so they'll have to revamp that, right?
Well, I mean, how do you control for that? That's the thing, you know, mm-hmm. if you tell me that there's new money coming from the feds, mm-hmm. why would you not raise your prices
right.
at institutions? Because mm-hmm. you're going to take mm-hmm. more of that money. Mm-hmm. And then also potential fraud. You know, if you're going to defraud for one student and get $6,000 a Pell, and now you mm-hmm. get double that, there will be increased potential for fraud. But for another day, we'll see if that moves along. Now, if that moves along, we'll talk more about it, everyone. Otherwise, we're going to move on to something from the California Student Aid Commission, or CSAC. They released a special alert on Thursday last week with an update on unpaid 2020-2021 competitive grants. To date, a little over 35,000 of the available 41,000 competitive awards have been paid during the current school year. That's about an 86% pay rate on awards. So in order to reach 100%, new awards will be offered to the next cohort of eligible applicants. What does this mean for me and you, Dana, and everyone else at the colleges? Well, we got some work ahead of us. So we have until 5 p.m. on April 23rd to do some cleanup and get as many students currently in the hopper on our rosters processed and paid. Students who have an FI or file incomplete status after 5 p.m. on the 23rd will have their awards withdrawn so that CSAC can make the new awards. So if you're the one responsible on your campus for processing Cal Grants, the clock is ticking, everyone. You've got a little over 3 weeks, but the sooner you get your work done on this, the better CSAC and you will be ready for these new awards. So we'll include a link to the special alert in our show notes on that.
So, Dennis, I know you're quite a baseball fan, and in particular a Dodgers fan, right?
Oh, yeah. That uh-huh. is true.
Well, did you see that there will actually be something good happening at Fenway Park in Boston this year?
It must not be the Red Sox playing.
You're funny, man. All right, then. So although the Boston Red Sox are only offering 12% capacity for baseball games due to the pandemic, two colleges will have their commencement ceremonies held at the historic ball field. Suffolk University and Northeastern University, both located in downtown Boston, will hold their ceremonies in May. Social distancing, of course, will be in effect, and there will be limits on guests. Suffolk plans to have two ceremonies, one for their 2020 graduates and another for the class of 2021. Northeastern is planning to have 5 events at Fenway to accommodate their graduates. It's good to see something good will happen at Fenway, even if baseball has its limitations. We'll have to see if there are cameras allowed for the graduations, as we wouldn't want to encourage sign stealing.
Yeah, those Boston Red Sox cheaters out
there. So everyone, we'll include a link to the University Business Magazine article in our show notes.
Yeah, the most honest thing will be the handing out right? of awards on that field that day. But anyways, I don't know how we missed this article that I've got coming up, especially as it pertains to one of the colleges here in Southern California and in our district, the Los Angeles Community College District. So reporting on the KCET website, which is our local public television down here in Southern California, there was an article that originally appeared with KPCC, Pasadena City College's radio station, and the LAist website. The title article says it all. Community colleges have lost a lot of students during the pandemic. Here's how one campus kept theirs. The article centers on the outreach program at Los Angeles City College and the impact it's had on keeping LACC students enrolled during the pandemic. This, in opposition to double-digit percentage drops in enrollment at almost all other community colleges across the state, including ours, unfortunately. Seems the program grew out of an earlier need to boost enrollment as LACC was losing students from 2014 through 2018, while most other community colleges were continuing to grow. Led in part by the college president, Mary Gallagher, the customer service approach was with a caring aspect to the staff's approach when working with students helped retain students who might have dropped out and likely would not have returned. Call centers, chat services, a first-year experience program, and more were launched. Building stronger connections with local high schools was enacted. In fact, I know that many of our colleges in the LA District have now looked to LACC to emulate some of their operations in addressing the melting away of students from our campuses. So for the full article on this, check out the link in our show notes to the KCET article.
Now, Dennis, here's a serious story that I'm including in our news, partially because of the nature of the story, and partially because of the article linked at the bottom of this one. But first, the story. According to the Lexington Herald Leader website, and that's Lexington in Kentucky, apparently a pair of students at Louisiana College, a small private college in Pineville, stole thousands of dollars in emergency COVID aid as the ringleaders of an identity theft scheme. The two students used at least nine other students' personal information to apply for emergency CARES grants at the college. Seems like these aren't the only scoundrels out there. From the article, it's noted that the Department of Justice has already charged 474 people trying to fraudulently obtain over $569 million in COVID-related funds. Bad, bad people. Mm-hmm. Taking money from those that really need it. So, what was the headline of that other article? You ready for it, Dennis?
I'm ready for it.
Meth hidden in dog food helps uncover COVID business loan scam in Georgia.
Fed wow. Meth hidden in dog food. So, I'm trying to think. Poor dogs or poor people that were eating dog food to find their meth?
Man, you know what? We're as human beings, we are some creative individuals, man.
We really are, yeah.
We really are.
So, yeah, we definitely need to put a link to both of those articles in our definitely. Show notes. Absolutely. All right, Dana, that's all for the news. Let's move on to the last part of our show here, everyone. And as exciting as all that news was, we are here now for our last sip segment, everyone. Dana, you got any I Dare You Twos or other things to share with the group?
You know, I don't have one today, but I will definitely have one for you all on Friday.
Oh, good. Okay. I don't really have much either, but I will say that, you know, baseball season is upon us. We are mere couple days away from opening day. So for all those baseball fans out there, you know, do your best to get a ticket, go to a game, watch your team. I try to buy like a new baseball cap and sometimes a hoodie or something every year. So everybody go out there and spend a little money on your teams, show your support for the sport. And when possible, get out.
And then don't you have a book too that you,
oh yes. One of the books that I read on a trip back to Wisconsin during Christmas is the Field Guide to Baseball Rules. It's more of an illustrated guide to the baseball rules. Cause I do have a regular baseball rules book, but it's all tiny print, you know? So this book is a nice one. I'll try to put the link in the show notes. It gives you the visual guide to understanding all of the rules of baseball. Like, you've heard of the infield fly rule? Dana, does that sound
familiar? Is that some type of a dance?
It kind of looks like one on the field.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's one that nobody ever knows what it is.
Okay.
Yes, or how you can get thrown out after taking a ball or a strike or something. Very interesting stuff, everybody, as you run to home, first base. But that's about all I have. Anything from you, Dana, as we close out here?
That's it for me, man. All right. I'm ready to chug my my 30 ounce.
There you go. I'll let you get to that here. I do want to thank you, my co-host Dana, for joining us today on What's Brewing CISFA. And of course, thank you, our audience, for tuning in.
And everyone, if you have something to say or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at wbcspa@gmail.com.
For this and all What's Brewing CISFA podcasts, find us on Google, Apple Podcasts app, your Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and a TuneIn app on your Amazon Echo by using Alexa.
What's Brewing CISFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of Dennis and me.
This has been episode number 77, recorded the morning of Tuesday, March 30th, 2021. Have a great day.
And have a great week.